Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, April 6th. We're glad you're tuning in over WSOF and WAJJ Radio. We're grateful to be able to come to your place of listening. Let me say again, I appreciate all our faithful listeners. We've got people that tune in every day at this time to hear us on the broadcast. And then thank you for those of you that go to our website at wsof.org and download those podcasts and listen to your convenience. Thank you, thank you. And thank you for those that let us know that they're a blessing to them. Amen. And anyway, we're going to move right along in the broadcast. Time to go to the Lord in prayer. If you'd like to pray with us, ask the Lord to just touch and help and use the broadcast for His glory and His honor. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love You. Thank You for Your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank You for Christ going to Calvary for me, paying that great price. Lord, I wasn't worthy, never would be worthy. Oh, my, when I think about what a price You paid and for what You paid for, what You got. Lord, I thank You for salvation. I glorify Your name. You're so good. I just feel like lifting up both hands and saying glory to God in the highest. I thank You for what You've done for me. Now, Father, I pray that You'd bless this broadcast. I pray, dear God, that You'd help those that are listening. Perhaps there's somebody listening that's not saved. Father, I'm praying for those that we've got on our prayer list. I've got a number of people on my personal list that I try to pray for every day. Lord, that You'd save them before it is eternally too late and work in their life. Father, I pray that You'd be with the different needs that we know about. Be with Miss Kelly out there in California, and that wedding going to take place tomorrow there. Lord, I pray bless and help meet the need there. And God, have Your way with those things. Then, Lord, I pray that You'd bring Miss Kelly and her family back safely. Everything go well there. I ask You, dear God, to bring Brother Bell and Ms. Bell back safely. Thank You, Lord, for them being able to go on that vacation, be with them and bless them and meet their needs. Lord, thank You for the good night in the house of God last night in the presence of the Lord. Thank You, Father, for Your grace in our life and how good that You've been. And now, Lord, I pray again that You'd meet these needs. Lord, I pray that You'd touch my wife and strengthen her and meet her needs. Lord, I pray that You'd just bless. Lord, I ask You to help our daughter-in-laws that are carrying children, Whitney and Leanne, that You'd help both of them to have a safe carry and a safe delivery and a healthy child. And I pray, dear God, You'd use them for Your glory. Now, Lord, I do pray that You'd anoint this broadcast, help the Word of God as it goes forth. Lord, let the good seed fall in some good soil that it might bring forth a good harvest to the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, Lord, accomplish Your will. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And have Thine own way, dear Lord, we pray. Lord, I pray You'd use it to draw sinners, encourage the saints, strengthen the church, dear God, I pray. And, Lord, I pray Jesus be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen. And amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to get ready to go to a song. We're actually going to have two songs today. I'm going to have my family singing, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. We'll get to that in just a moment. But before that, I want to let my mother-in-law in here and let her sing that song, Bubbling, for us just a little bit. I feel the joy of the Lord bubbling up in my heart. All right, hope you enjoyed that good song there, and we're going to get ready to move right into the message. This week, we're preaching from the Scripture in Acts chapter number 2. And right before we go to the Scripture, we're going to have the introduction here as we go into the message recorded live at the Island Ford Baptist Church. If you got your Bible, I'd like to turn to Acts chapter number 2, and verse number 42 is where I want to take my text. Read down through these last verses of chapter 2. The Bible says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily
such as should be saved. Chapter 2 is dealing with the day of Pentecost. You know, these folks got saved. God did a wonderful work there. And the early church was there endued with power from on high. That power from on high came and souls were saved by the multitude. Now, I want to go on from this point and go forward and think about the excitement and the experience of these people. I titled my message this, A Baptist Church, A Biblical Community. Seven things that we see them do that I believe we ought to do if we're going to have the kind of Christian community, a Baptist church that is a biblical community like it ought to be. First of all, there was a devotion to Christian teaching. And secondly, there ought to be fellowship and breaking of bread together. Amen. Verse 42 says again, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. I believe the second commitment that is foundational to a Baptist church being a biblical community of believers is the commitment to fellowship. Fellowship. This commitment really means more than just showing up at Bible study once a week. I believe fellowship has this idea of a devotion. A devotion to fellowship, being dedicated to that, that we might have a meaningful part in other Christians' lives. Not just that we know them, but sometimes people go to some of these, if we want to say mega churches, these big groups because they want to hide in the shadows. They don't want to be missed. They don't want anybody to say, where was you at this morning? Where were you at last week? And so they want to be able just to slip in and slip out. And I'm going to tell you this thing about real fellowship is when we're in agreement together. We're working together. The church ought to be a family. It ought to be a group where we love one another and actually care about one another. Amen. That's what this idea about fellowship has to do with it. That we are really involved. That we are really interested in having a meaningful part in other Christians' lives. Amen. There ought to be a fellowship, a breaking of bread together. Again, I'll say this, we see this example of the fellowship in the book of Acts. Fellowship does not happen accidentally. The Bible says if a man's going to have friends, you know the rest of the story, he's got to show himself friendly. He's got to show himself friendly. Amen. And so there is something in that. It's not, well, they didn't shake my hand. Did you shake their hand? But here's the thing. This thing about fellowship, it's not a one-way street. It's us giving and taking from others. It's a communication, a community of us being together. Amen. One shaking the hand, one making the smile, one making the comment, and a response that follows with those comments and those actions. Amen. Without intentionally spending time together, without a conscious effort towards fellowship, this community, this coming together, will never happen. Now, I'll say there's absolutely nothing wrong with calling one another or texting or emailing. I know we got all this stuff nowadays that you can communicate. There's nothing wrong with doing that outside of church. Nothing wrong with going to one another's house and fellowshipping together in one another's house. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with meeting at a restaurant with somebody. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't have to do that. We got plenty of time before services and after services. Amen. Now, I'd rather you didn't sit around and talk to each other during service. Amen. But we got before service, we got after service, got plenty of opportunity that we can walk across the aisle or reach across the pew or the row and we can talk to somebody, we can fellowship, and we can enjoy that time together. Amen. And we ought to. This third thing is praying for one another. You see that right there, verse number 42 as well, the end of that. And they, continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Praying together and for each other. Amen. Praying together, group praying, and for each other. I believe that one of the things that will bind God's people together stronger than any other thing is the thread of prayer. Amen. It'll bind us together. I put it this way in my notes. We pray for those we love. And it's hard not to love those you pray for. Amen. We pray for those we love. And it's hard not to love those you pray for. Amen. I wrote some verses down. You don't have to turn. I'll just read them to you real quickly. Paul wrote these, and he's talking about prayer, praying for the saints. He said, Romans 1:9, "For God is my witness that I serve, or whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I have mention of you always in my prayers." Ephesians 1:15 and 16, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and loved all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Colossians 4:12, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God." 1 Thessalonians 1:12, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." 1 Timothy 2:1 and 2, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Philemon chapter 1 verse 4, he says, "I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers." In other words, Paul was a praying man. And he prayed for his fellow believers. He prayed for the church that he loved. Amen. As Christians, we're praying people. Prayer is as natural to a Christian as breathing comes to a baby. That baby's born, he's going to start breathing. Amen. If he's going to live, he is. When a child of God gets born, they're going to start a communication with God that's going to continue the rest of their life. If they don't, they won't survive. Prayer comes natural. It does. And I know we got to learn and we got to grow. We need to ask God to help us learn to pray and teach us to pray. And we got to be diligent about those things. But there is a natural proclivity to prayer for those that are saved. But I want to say this. In this thing about we being praying people, we can direct who or what we pray for. It can be all on ourselves. It can be all just for our physical family. Or we can incorporate others. We should incorporate others in our prayer life. Amen. Praying one for another. Amen. Well, I believe we ought to spend time praying for one another as members of the local church. As members of the body of Christ. The same Christian body of believers. We ought to pray for one another. I realize we have, especially on Wednesday night when we take prayer requests, sometimes we have more prayer requests than you can remember. And we're having somebody leading in prayer, and it may very well be that they get done before you're done. It may very well happen. You know why? Because we've got all these needs. But I'm going to tell you what we can do. Even whether we remember it right here or not, when we go home in our prayer time, we ought to have some time that when God brings that back to our memory, we'll pray for that. And sometimes, by the way, we ought to set aside special. When you know something special is going on, you know there's a particular need, you ought to take some special time to pray over those things. Amen. Number four, I talked about the fellowship, talked about the studying the Word of God together and the praying together. Number four, continuing in one accord. Look at verse number 46, the first part. "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple." That idea of one accord, it goes back, Acts 1, and he's talking about them all being together in that upper room and one mind and one accord. Has the idea they're all there for the same purpose. They're all there for the same purpose. I believe we ought to strive for unity. We ought to strive to come together as a family in the house of God. Amen. Matter of fact, turn to John chapter 17. Our Lord prayed in His high priestly prayer of John 17. He prayed about this thing of unity among the believers. John chapter 17, verse number 20. And read down through verse 23. Our Lord said, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Amen. Our Lord is praying for unity among the saints. You ever notice how often the Bible talks about He says, gives us the exhortation, brethren, love one another. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Over and over and over the Bible talks about let brotherly love continue. Amen. Hebrews 13. I wrote in the margin, not of this Bible, but the other Bible has the Scofield Bible wide margin. In the margin of that where it said, let brotherly love continue, I wrote down, I wish it'd start. If it'd get started, maybe it could continue. Amen. Let it. Allow it. When you got saved, God put something in you. You didn't hate the church when you got saved. You may have hated it before you got saved. You may have hated people before you got saved, but the moment you got saved, you didn't hate anybody. Amen. How can you when God, who is love, moves in your heart, He sheds abroad the love of God in your heart by the Holy Spirit. How in the world can you hate people? You didn't hate people. When you got saved, you had love in your heart, brothers. But if you don't allow it, it won't continue. You can let other things come in, interrupt, and stop, hinder that love that ought to be continuing on for others. I'm back in John 17, our Lord in this prayer. He's praying for that unity. I want you to notice that two times He links this unity really with others seeing that. In verse number 21, that last phrase, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. Verse number 23, that last phrase, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Jesus actually connects this unity with others seeing that, with others witnessing that, and it being a witness, it speaking to their heart. Our Lord said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Amen. The world, they understand barroom fights. They understand that. They understand people grumbling and complaining and not getting along. What they can't understand is that when God does a supernatural work in somebody's heart and all of a sudden they love the people they used to hate. Amen. All of a sudden they can't wait to go back over and let somebody holler at them, spit at them, and take up all their money. They enjoy going to the house of God. They enjoy the things, enjoy the people of God. The world can't understand that. You know what it is? It's a supernatural work of the Holy Ghost and it witnesses to them. Amen. It witnesses them when they see that. We ought to ask God, help us, Lord, that we might exhibit this love that You want us to have, this one accord.
Well, the music lets us know we've come to the end of another broadcast day here on WSOF, WAJJ, with the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Appreciate you being tuned in. And I do hope that you'll take that last phrase. I really hope the whole message was a help to you, but that last phrase, that we'll ask God to help us have that love and desire for the people of God and the things of God that we ought to have and represent that to this lost and dying world. Amen. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. Amen. All right, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying until this same time tomorrow, may God bless you, is our prayer.